Good evening, everyone. Everyone looks wide awake. That's good. Have some coffee or tea. Perk yourself up. Start with the nature of Mahashivaratri. It's an unusual festival. In that it's so strict in its disciplines. There's not a lot of laughing and sweets and dancing. It's a little bit austere, shall we say. It's only one that I know of like that, though of course there are austerities that can be done for a Thaipusam, for example. But still, it's a different festival in its lack of external celebration, shall we say. And it's also, as I mentioned last year, I won't repeat exactly what I said last year, but just the overview idea without the details. It's before the new moon, whereas most of the festivals we celebrate are before the full moon. You go around the calendar. Where do we start? Vaikasi Vaisakham is before the full moon. Guru Purnima. Kritika Deepa, we don't really celebrate it, but eventually I think we will. Of course, Mahardra, Arudra Darshanam, is right before the full moon. Whereas this is before the new moon. Well, what's the difference? Well, the difference is around the time of the full moon, a human being its energies are flowing more outward. Our Saivaid Shastra's guidebook for the monastery says the best time to plan is the day before the full moon. Best time of the month to plan. It's called the 27th sun in our original calendars. The day before the full moon. Your energies are all directed outward. You have a lot of foresight and all. It's a great day for external activities. Well, what's the worst day to plan? The day before the new moon, which is right now. All the energies are turning within. And the Sanskrit word, which is hard to pronounce, is pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti is the energies turning without, and nivritti is the energies turning within. So a simple way of thinking about that is, which is not correct, I'll clarify, is, well, the families are on the pravritti path and the monks are on the nivritti path, right? Not quite. Guru Deva says, the first 48 years of the family path is pravritti. But then you start to turn within, start to become more inner and start to want to do more sadhana, nivritti. So it's a natural going outward in your schooling and your employment and birthing and raising children and then starting to turn inward more in the last part of the life. So the idea of an inward-directed festival is we're just trying to go within ourselves. And said another way, it's a good time for meditation. Whereas the festivals right before the full moon are taking the deity's blessings and really adding it to our external life to be more successful. Less stressed out, more creative. So we're taking these blessings when it's near the full moon, and we naturally apply it in our daily life. And even the festivals that are on the titis are in Shukla Paksha. The moon is getting stronger. So it's the same idea. They're not in Krishna Paksha when the moon is getting weaker, because that's the wrong time to add energy to your outer activities. So the Mahashivaratri, the way we look at it, is an inner time, and that's one reason it's so strict. And of course there's a monthly Shivaratri, which is also a good inner time and for deepening one's meditation. So Gurudeva describes it in a kind of the ultimate way here in Dancing with Shiva. Mahashivaratri, Shiva's great night, venerates Parashiva and is a time to be near the monks as they strive to realize Parashiva. To paraphrase what Gurudeva is saying in a more general way, Mahashivaratri has an inner power to it, and this makes it an ideal time to turn within in meditation and strive to go deeply enough into ourselves to find that part of us that is identical with God Shiva. In the first shloka in Dancing with Shiva, Gurudeva gives a description of Parashiva that relates it to energy. Who am I? Where did I come from? Rishis proclaim that we are not our body, mind, or emotions. We are divine souls on a wondrous journey. We came from God, live in God, and are evolving into oneness with God. We are in truth the truth we seek. Om. Bhasya. We are mortal souls living and growing in the great school of earthly experience in which we have lived many lives. Vedic Rishis have given us courage by uttering the simple truth. God is the life of our life. A great sage carried it further by saying, there is one thing God cannot do. He cannot separate himself from you. This is because God is our life. God is the life in the birds, the fish, and in the animals. Becoming aware of this life energy in all that lives is becoming aware of God's loving presence within us. We are the undying consciousness and energy flowing through all things. Deep inside, we are perfect this very moment, and we have only to discover and live up to this perfection to be whole. And the next sentence is the one we were leading up to. Our energy and God's energy are the same, ever coming out of the void. So, energy coming out of the void. We are all beautiful children of God. Each day we should try to see the life energy in trees, birds, animals, and people. When we do, we are seeing God Shiva in action. So let's look at an analogy to try and understand energy coming out of the void. Imagine a small city whose sole source of power is a solar thermal power station. Every electrical appliance in the city receives its energy from this plant. But of course, the power plant is receiving its energy from the sun. The sun is the ultimate source of the electricity that powers the various appliances. And of course, the sun can power as many such solar thermal power stations as man chooses to build. If worldwide we built 100,000 of these plants, they would all be drawing on the sun for power. Similarly, all human beings have a common source for their life, which is the presence of God within each of them. In English, indwelling God is called the Self with a capital S, and in Sanskrit, it is called Parashiva. That makes sense? So we can understand the idea, just like the sun powers lots of appliances through solar panels. The one sun powers everything that's electrical, if everything was solar. So the one void, the one parashiva, powers all of us. That's what it's trying to say, just like the sun can power all the appliances. We all have the same source of energy. A second important aspect of Hinduism's monistic philosophies is the idea that the core of man's being is already in a state of oneness with God. Nothing needs to be done for this to become the truth. It is there to be realized in personal experience. To use our analogy in a fanciful way, imagine that electrical appliances had consciousness and were capable of tracing the source of the electricity that powered their unique functions. Take a computer, for example. It would find first the cord to the wall, the wiring in the building, the transmission line leading to the power station, and finally the sun, whose rays make it all possible. So it's tracing backward to the source. Man can go through the same process and trace the life force within him back to its source of the self, Parashiva. Well, Gurudev explains how to do that. You have to go into the elements of the physical body, into the elements of that, and into the energy of that, and into the vast inner space of that, and into the core of that, and into the that of that, and into the that of that, and finally you realize that you have realized the self. And you lost something. You lost your goal of self-realization. And you come back into the fullness of everything, and you are no longer looking. You are no longer asking, and you are no longer wanting. You just are. When you get tired of the external area of the mind that you are flowing through, you simply dive in again. So that's the idea of going from physical consciousness to mental to superconsciousness and then into more subtle levels of superconsciousness, just tracing back the life energy. Okay, as I mentioned, it's an excellent night to put extra effort into going deeply within through meditation. So remember, at the deepest level of your soul, you and God Shiva are already one. Shivoham, I am Shiva. So one of the explanations I gave of stepping inside yourself is in a publisher's desk called An Alternative to Happiness. So it's starting from the lower aspects of superconscious and getting more and more subtle. So it relates to the chakras. So the first chakra that relates to superconsciousness is the fourth chakra, right? It starts by saying, after taking those four steps within, which means you're getting here, within the superconscious, we find ourselves immersed in endless inner space, pure awareness and the transcendent source of that awareness. This is the realm of the deepest samadhis. Three steps within takes us to the level of brilliant inner light and the possibilities of visions of deities and rishis, if you're interested in that kind of experience. Two steps brings us to the level of divine love for all beings, and one step inward takes us to a consciousness that is content, creative, and intuitive. So the article goes on to say, let's be content with just taking one step within. Let's start there and get really good at taking one step within. And then once we perfected that, we could take two, and then eventually three and four, and then we could find the source of the fourth step within, and that, of course, is Parashiva. Last idea is the same concepts expressed in merging with Shiva. Sometimes I forget it's there, and I'm sure all of you do too if I forget it. In the beginning of the book Merging with Shiva, Gurudeva gives 9 ways to merge with Shiva. Some of them are pretty simple, like getting born. You don't have to do anything, right? You just get born. I think that's the first way of merging with Shiva. So I thought we could, again, look at from the inside out. Look at how Guru David describes the same idea. And all of this relates to the idea that, you know, we don't want to not try or become discouraged by the thought, oh, I can't realize Parashiva, that's for monks. Even though Gurudeva talks about it in those terms, what he means is we want to go in as far as we can and strive to go in deeper than normal on a day like Mahashivaratri. So the ninth one is the deepest. Ninth one is final merger, Vishvagrasa in Sanskrit, where the soul body merges with the primal soul. The analogy given is as simply as a drop of water merges into the ocean, never to be found again. So we can't do that one tonight. You can't have a physical body or a mental body. You can only have a soul body. So we still all have physical bodies. So that one's out of reach, definitely. Eighth merger, Shiva's Parashiva, becoming and being timeless, formless, spaceless in the total transformation of the soul body, the mental body, the astral body, the pranic body, and the physical body. It's the breaking of seals which subsequently makes changes never to be repaired. A new and entirely new process begins. It is the ultimate healing of all karmas, the ultimate knowing of Dharma. So just to make one comment there. In many places in Gurudeva's writings, he stresses the point that it's not enough just to realize Parashiva once. If you've realized Parashiva once, great, well now do it again. If you've realized Parashiva twice, great, now do it a third time. You know, there's a process that takes place, which is what he's referring to here. It is the breaking of seals which subsequently makes changes never to be repaired. So it takes multiple realizations of Parashiva over the years to make all the changes that need to be made. Seventh merger is into the Nada Nadi Shakti, that unrelating sound heard as an inexplainable E of 1,000 Veenas being played simultaneously by Veenadhara, another form of Lord Shiva, the maker of sound, the composer of the symphony. The nod is traced to its source deep within the within, city of 1,000 lights and sound. For sound is light, and light is sound in this sphere of Satchit Ananda, all pervasive oneness with all form. So that's the seventh way. I know many of you are able to hear the high E, so that's a pretty deep experience to be able to sustain the high E or Nada Nadi Shakti. And Gurudeva says, the light that lights each thought picture when traced to its source is the sixth merger, the yoga of detaching awareness from that which it is aware of and being the light that lights the thoughts, rather than claiming identity as being the thoughts. Then tracing this light of the mind out of the mind into the beyond of the beyond. Yea, this is the sixth way we merge into the divine. The Lord of Dance emanates his own lighting effects, does his own choreography, creates his own music, and enjoys, as the audience, his own performance. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of the ceremony.